Good evening, Pleasant Grove. Welcome to our worship service for Sunday morning. I'd like to start off our worship service with a song from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band entitled I Find Jesus.
I walk inside when it comes to this feeling when the spirit leads me on. And if the dogs are barking and the night is rough, I take it as a sign and climb above the city to the hill among the clouds where I can see now. He's waiting with his palm to me outstretched. His mercy is a balm when I'm perplexed. I find Jesus in the darkest night. I find Jesus in the morning bright. I find Jesus in the face of those whose hearts are sang with the heavenly host. Sometimes when I feel all alone, I look around and all I'm gone. Friends that I rely upon, how does it do? Sunday morning in my soul, and there I find a holy hall where congregations heed the call. I find Jesus in the darkest night. I find Jesus in the morning bright. I find Jesus in whose hearts are sang with the heavenly host. Chill run up my spine and recognize my time's come. I'll look around and lead me home. He reaches love and me and bid me climb to victory. Where will I find him? Hearts raised in song without care. I find Jesus in the darkest night. I find Jesus in the morning bright. I find Jesus in the face of those whose hearts are sang with heavenly hosts.
I do have one prayer request to send out this evening before we start on the message. Prayer request goes out for the Childs family, for Charlie Childs, who is a nephew of Dave Childs from Childs Feed, who has been diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and he's early 50s. So please remember the Childs family in your prayer. I'd like to give you the lyrics of a of a song entitled Cleanse Me as kind of a introduction to our worship service this evening. The name of the song is Cleanse Me. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender. Lord, in me abide. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, all start the work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you this evening to own this message. I pray you will anoint my lips so that your truth will come forward in a way that will be found in hearts and minds of the listeners, in a way that it will change us, in a way that we can actually apply in our lives, in a way that we can actually glorify you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson tonight is one verse, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. I can't think of any process in the church more timely or useful than restoration. Realizing that any one of us from time to time needs to be brought back into the fold because of our misconduct. How fortunate we are to have just finished our study on the fruit of the Spirit, remembering that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice that our verse begins with his statement by saying, brothers and sisters, clarifying that he is writing to believers, those who are sons and daughters of God. Because we are brothers and sisters, we have the responsibility with one another to restore to fellowship those who are caught in sin. When Cain in Genesis 4 was being rebellious to God, he asks, am I my brother's keeper? He assumed he wasn't, but in fact he was. If we wonder as a Christian if we are our brother's keeper, this passage of Scripture should help convince us that we are. I'd like to unpack this one verse by examining four key words: caught, restore, gently, watch. First word, caught. If someone is caught in a sin, if you're using the King James Version, it reads, if a man is overtaken in a fault. J.B. Phillips translates, even if a man should be detected in some sin. Now the question arises, is Paul referring to someone who is caught in the act of sinning? Or is he referring to the individual being caught by sin, being overtaken, caught by surprise, suddenly, without notice? In the first situation, a great example would be the woman found in adultery in John chapter 8, verses 3 through 7. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses commanded, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusations on him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw the stone at her." The reason this explanation doesn't fit the context of Galatians 6:1 is because of the legalistic manner in which the Pharisees brought this woman to Jesus. Their purpose, at this point, was finding fault for punishment of this woman. Our verse for today is all about restoration and healing for the purpose of becoming useful to God once again. The issue is not a situation where someone has settled into a pattern of sin. Rather, he is someone who has been running well, and in a moment, this person has tripped and fallen on the track, caught unaware of his mistake. This analogy might be helpful. We're driving down the road, and we find this guy pulled over off the road with his hood up on his car. The guy looks desperate and unequipped for the situation. What do we do? Do we speed past, saying to ourselves, "Serves him right"? Or do we say, "They probably had that coming to them"? Did we push down on the gas feed and say, "That will never happen to me"? Did we play the Levite and pass by on the other side? Did we stay on our spiritual donkey and keep on moving? Paul says what we have here is a great test of Christian brotherhood. A test to show what it means to be a genuine, caring member in the family of faith. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, if they are wounded and hurting, don't come to them with the harshness of judgment and criticism. Come to them with oil and wine. We hold others to a higher standard than we are prepared to live to ourselves. It is in those unexpected moments in the family of God that Christian character is revealed. So much for our first word. Next, the word restore. The Greek meaning for this word is to set a broken bone back into place. Paul is defining sin as a dislocated joint or bone. Everybody knows that a dislocated bone, just a little off, can be very, very painful. But the word restore means if you go to someone to talk about their sin, you're not going to wound, you're going to heal. 1 Peter 4:8, Peter says, "Love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin." It will be painful, but your tone of voice, the way you say things, the time you choose to speak, the setting, everything is designed to heal. Christians cannot stand idly by, calling ourselves believers, and see our brothers fall on their faces in sin and do nothing. And we are not allowed to gossip about them to our friends and neighbors. This Greek word for restore is also used in Mark chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I'll start reading in verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Verse 19. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. That word preparing is the same word for restore in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Some of the fishing nets were messed up. If those nets were going to be useful on the next fishing trip, there was going to be restoration. To begin that process, there had to be the acknowledgement that the nets needed repairing. In spiritual restoration, there will be no healing until there is a humble acknowledgement on the part of the sinner. Of utmost importance in the restoration is the return to usefulness. That's what's important. That's what Galatians 6:1 is all about, returning to usefulness. Our third word is gently, those who live by the Spirit. If you'll remember, that word gentleness was one of our 9 in the fruit of the Spirit. Those believers walking in the Spirit of meekness and love, mature in the faith, not subject to human judgments. The job of restoration doesn't fall to the quarrelers, to the jealous ones, to those who are critical or gossipers. Paul addresses this issue in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Some of us from time to time are not walking in the Spirit, even though as Christians we are indwelt by the Spirit. Are we obedient to Ephesians 5:18, which says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. This idea of gentleness and walking in the Spirit is illustrated by the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let me read a portion of that for you. It's found in Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 29. As I read this story, think about the concept of gentleness and walking in the Spirit. Luke 10, starting in verse 29. The Pharisee asked, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side." This man of God, this religious leader, actually stopped by and got a closer look of the victim and went to the other side. Verse 33, "But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him." Now, when that happens, we have a change of heart, don't we? This takes place inside. Inside. "He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is one of the teachings of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We need to realize there are brothers who are going to take a spill. They're going to hurt and bleed. They don't need someone from the Amen corner shouting at them. They're going to need someone to lift them up. We will never do a good job of restoration unless we feel just as weak as that person when we put ourselves in their shoes. If we ever make an attempt at bringing a brother back to the fold, to tell them about their flaws, if within your heart you say, "But I'm a better kind of person, I would never do this thing," don't even try. Our final word is watch. We are to be watchful in the way we treat others. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. How many disasters and counseling ministries would have been averted if the counselor would have been led by this verse? We had an example in our previous church history and our community. Pastor had quite a following, was well thought of, well respected, had a wife and three children. He started counseling this married woman by himself. And one thing led to another. And he left his wife and created a sin with this woman that he was counseling and later married. What a catastrophe that was for the whole family. One that's never been forgotten. A real hurtful situation for all that were involved. Sure, he was spiritual. Sure, he was compassionate. Sure, he wanted to help and was gentle, listened well, and did all the things in the first part of Galatians 6:1. But he did not watch himself, and he was tempted. What have we learned from this one verse? So much to unpack. Number one, let's be prepared as a church to identify the problem, individuals caught in a sin. Second, let's understand the process of restoration. Third, let's ask God to help us be the folks who are involved, equipped by wisdom from above. And lastly, let's make sure we keep our eyes wide open to our vulnerability, our limitations, and how can we glorify God in the process. Let's bow our heads. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.